Buzz Planet.
Well, we're having some fun with fungi today. We're focusing all on mushrooms and the vital role they play in our ecosystems. And I have two guests standing by to chat to us who are the authors of a new field guide to mushrooms and other fungi of South Africa, published by Strake Nature. Now, it features 200 of the most distinctive mushrooms found in this country, with clear descriptions and full-color photographs to help identify them, as well as some guidelines for foraging. And I'm delighted to be giving away a copy today to whoever phones in with the most interesting question about mushrooms. You do need to call us on 021-446-0567. The book is valued at 370 Rand and it could be yours if you take the opportunity to phone in and pick the brains of two people who are absolutely mad about mushrooms. On the line with me is Marika Gresenhout, who is a lecturer in the Department of Genetics at the University of the Free State, is the author of numerous scientific papers on the subject of mushrooms, and also does a lot to promote her passion to the layman via her blog, which is called themycologyblog.com. Marika, it's great to have you with us. Thanks so much for joining in the conversation today.
It's wonderful. Thanks, Papa.
And then with us in studio, I have to say a welcome back to her co-author on this book, Gary Goldman, who is a mushroom specialist and an amateur mycologist based here in Cape Town. You might know him better as the mushroom fundi. And he was with us, gosh, Gary, it must be 4 or 5 years ago. In fact, I think you must have been one of my very first interviews on Cape Talk. So welcome back. Hope it'll go a bit more smoothly this time. Gary's mushroom fundi website, mushroomfundi.co.za, has become a go-to place for information. And of course, he regularly leads foraging expeditions and runs mushroom growing courses. So it's really great to have you with us again as well.
Thank you.
Marika, let's start with you and a bit of a general description of mushrooms as a group of organisms. Are they plant, are they animal, or are they neither?
They're neither. They're actually a kingdom of their own, just as animals and plants and bacteria are different from each other. Fungi are unique. So you can imagine how amazingly diverse they are and how amazingly a lot you can learn about them.
What is it that made you so absolutely passionate about them?
I don't know, actually. It just hooked me. In my third year, we got our first mycology course ever, and it was so interesting. There were so many interesting stories and symbiosis and ecological things, and it just hooked me. And I described my first species in my MSc degree, and since then I just don't want to stop.
Now, you've got you can't do them all because it would be an endless job. Marika, how many different varieties are there? When you speak about their huge diversity, are we talking tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or even more?
Millions.
Millions.
They estimate that there's more than a million species of fungi in the world, and we have described very little of them, actually, compared to what is there.
Okay, so formally documenting them is a long, ongoing process then. Do we know how many of them approximately are found here in South Africa?
There was a paper that estimated if there's about 7 or 8 or 6, I can't quite remember, species of fungi associated with the number of plants there are, then we'll get to about 170,000. But that's a gross underestimation because the soils are left out, the guts of all kinds of insects and animals are left out. So this, the macro fungi, the mushrooms and the other fungi that's in the book, there's so many that we don't know what they are because it's unique to South Africa, but they don't have names yet.
Mm-hmm. I know you're involved in several projects to try and map mushrooms in South Africa. Why is it so important to know which types are growing where?
Well, just as it's important to know which animals are restricted to certain places or which ones are common, the same with plants, we can't do that with fungi because we simply don't know. No one has really mapped it. It was also difficult in this book to kind of say, okay, we think it's in this province, but we base it on a previous record and what we heard and our own experiences and what others told us. But there's no data, nothing. So we don't know which of our species are rare, endemic to only one place, or are common, or if our fungi actually moved out of the country.
Interesting. Marika, Can you talk to us a little bit about the role that fungi play in the ecosystem? And you mentioned the word symbiosis and those interesting relationships with other species that we might have heard of here and there. But can you give us a broad picture of what their function is in nature?
Well, mostly it is to decompose. So in any ecosystem, even Antarctica, there's fungi that can decompose the organic material that's there. Otherwise, we would have lived in a junkyard. Certain insects like ants and termites can break down wood, but otherwise it's usually only them and the fungi. So take away the fungi and then there will be chaos. And then we have the more specialized ones that have these special relationships with their hosts. Us humans ourselves have gut fungi in our own gut, but there's other more interesting stories where, for instance, termites farm ants, farm fungi. They only eat the fungi. And then you have the pathogens as well of plants and humans and animals.
Okay, so with so many, a million plus species, I'm guessing the roles they play will be just as varied. But thanks for giving us a bit of a broad introduction there, Dr. Marika Greizenhout. Let me bring in Gary at this point. Gary, I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked Marika. Where did the passion for mushrooms come from? What got you involved in this field?
Well, I first started, I had a business which used to set up computer expos around the country. And it's completely
That's
different.
Quite a change
I know,
of field.
Quite a change.
Yeah.
And I just closed the business down and stopped smoking, started walking in the forests, and it happened to be mushroom season. And there it started. Started seeing mushrooms. Question which is asked regularly on my cell phone is, can I eat this?
Mm-hmm. We've already got the first ones through like that on our SMS line. We'll get to those now.
And I thought the same thing. And now I've eaten 29 species from Cape Town, found in Cape Town. And I'm sure there are a lot more. And they vary in when they're going to be out. I found that in the beginning of season, which is in Cape Town, normally after the first big rain, anytime from February to May. 2 weeks later, mushrooms start coming out, and it starts off with all the Belier-type species, and as the season progresses, before it becomes too cold, which it is now, different mushrooms start coming out around different temperature zones. So that's where it all began, and still finding mushrooms. Today I took someone out to find medicinal mushrooms because she's suffering from breast cancer, and we found turkey tail and split gill and artist conch for her, and she's very happy. So mushrooms out there, which are medicinal or nutraceuticals, as they're termed, are not told to you by a medical doctor because it's natural medicine, as they say, and they don't promote natural medicine. They promote medicine. So that's why you won't hear from a doctor about it. And if you Google it, the word cancer with mushroom, you'll see there are millions of papers that have been written about them. One particular author, mycologist from the States called Paul Stamets, has the most amazing stuff to say about mushrooms, and he sort of opened my eyes to the medicinal side of it. Mm-hmm. I started cultivating them and did workshops, but that's sort of taken the back burner because my passion is finding mushrooms which are not mentioned in any previous mushroom books in Cape Town, finding them in the forests and basically trying to get them documented.
It's fascinating. I mean, the medicinal use of mushrooms, we can date back 6,000 years and more with humans looking into that. And I know our regular guest, Leonie Jabert, has written a lot about the research that's going into psilocybin and hallucinogenic properties of mushrooms with particular use in mental health treatment. It is a field that really we've only scratched the surface of. But let's get down to the foraging. I'm intrigued by what you said about the season, starting from Feb to May, and you mentioned it's too cold now. Is the season that short, or does it pick up again once the coldest patch of the year is over again?
Seasons basically throughout the year.
Okay.
But each mushroom's got its own little season. It can be 6 weeks to 2 months. And after that, sure enough, you may, if the conditions are right, whether it's the right temperature, the right moisture, the right humidity, you will find that certain species may pop up in February again if there's been enough rain, and so it goes. Doesn't mean that the mushrooms have stopped now. It just means that mushroom season started, and for the Belierts, it ends middle of June.
Right.
Other mushrooms, today we found mushrooms called the wood bluet, which only come out when temperatures drop below 8 degrees Celsius.
I told you it was cold.
It was cold, and they were out. We found a whole basket full this morning. So
okay.
Every mushroom's got its own growth parameters, if you can call it that, and its own season. It's like fruit. Not all fruit come out the same time. They come out different times of the year, some of them twice a year, like granadilla trees just popping granadillas now.
Lucky you.
It's the middle, it's the middle of winter and it's doing it. So every species, I suppose, including mushrooms, has its own season that it comes out in.
A couple of questions, and predictably there are those, can I eat this one? Vanna says, oh, please ask your guests if the brown and white mushrooms that grow in your garden at this time of year are edible. I guess it depends on where the garden is, what the soil
about.
Is, but do you have an idea?
Well, in the book we've got about 9 species of agaricus. Agaricus is agaricus species are basically a white mushroom like you find in the stores with brown gills. They would start off initially being white, and then as the cap opens, become pinkish, and then become brown. I say they're all edible, except for the ones that bruise yellow or bleed yellow.
Okay, tell us more. Bruising or bleeding, how would you check that?
You would just, I normally pick the mushroom, and then I scratch on its stalk. And if it's one of the yellow stainers, instantly it'll go yellow. So if it doesn't go yellow, then I would eat it.
Have you, given that approach, ever had any times where you tried something that you really shouldn't have eaten, Gary?
Never. No. Too careful. When I started off, all the South African mushroom books were saying, find yourself a mushroom expert before you consume a mushroom. To this date, I've never found an expert. I had to become expert. Had to be that sure. I'm very much, my background's IT, so everything was in a row and everything was,
following rules and in its
following
place.
Following rules. And everything was in its place. And when it came to mushroom picking and mushroom eating, I squeezed 50 of my first pine rings I ever found to make sure that that saffron milk or carrot juice-like milk came out of my fingers, through my fingers where I'd squeezed them. So I squeezed 50 before I ate my first pine ring. Then I knew that's that mushroom. And every mushroom's got its own little traits, whether it bruises blue or it bleeds red or it's bruises pink, which we found a mushroom today, which did that. And stick to those traits. Read the finer print in each species. Each species will tell you its cap is so big. Its spores are that color. So if you don't know a mushroom, do a spore print. It's easy to do. A spore print, in the book, we do explain how to do a spore print. Do a spore print. A spore print is one way of filing it down to a possible of maybe 7 or 8 species, or a little bit more sometimes, depending on the color of the spores. But at least it takes out the white spore. If it's brown spore, like a button mushroom, it'll take out all the other possibilities of yellow spores or pink spores or all the other colors. So then you'll know it's only one of those.
Okay. And I have to say, this book has in detail, it's not just a picture of each type of mushroom, but close-up pictures of the caps and of the stems and what the young specimens look like and the kind of environment you'd find them in. So there really is a huge amount of very detailed help available to help you identify them. Marika, somebody asking about preservation of mushrooms. How do you keep them as fresh as possible for as long as possible? Would you like to comment on that?
Is that for eating purposes?
I assume so, yes.
Well, then Gary is actually better to answer that.
Gary, do you want to take that one?
Yep. When it comes to a mushroom like a porcini, which is a very thick and meaty mushroom, there are ways you can preserve it for a few more days in the fridge. Must be in the fridge, 4 degrees Celsius-ish. I did a lot of reading about it. The one thing that came to note was that you leave the soil on, gives it an extra 2 day shelf life. If you put it in a cardboard box, like a shoe box, something with a lid, another 2 days extra. So if I'm finding mushrooms for the markets on the Monday for the Saturday, then this is what I do. I leave the sand on and I'll clean it before I give it to the chefs or to the markets. I'll clean it basically an hour before I give it to them. So it'll be in a shoe box from the Monday and it'll still be fresh when you give it to them on the weekend.
Amazing, yeah. When you say cleaning, I was always taught you never wash a mushroom for purposes of the kitchen. Is that correct?
You were taught well.
Okay.
Water and mushrooms do not go well together. You need to get a damp rag and wipe it down. That's what you do with your mushroom. You then get a sharp knife and scratch out whatever soil is still on the mushroom. But wiping it down is what you do. You don't wash them. The only time I ever wash a mushroom is if I'm about to pickle them or marinate them.
Okay.
You boil them for an hour. You wash them in water. It's a whole different process because you don't want any sand. Of course, you don't want any sand anytime. And novices will normally find that they do eat a bit of sand in the beginning. And then they start to walk around because a mushroom knife has got a little brush at the end of it, which you can brush off the dirt and brush off things which aren't needed. So a brush or a little damp cloth. People, I see them walking around with little damp cloths, wiping their mushrooms down. Because when you get home, it's not a matter of throwing them in the basin and washing them. You can't do that. You have to wipe them down. Eat them as soon as possible after finding them. That's a very important factor. Don't think you can put them in the fridge and eat them 4 days later, because it's coming from the wild. There's other fungi that are attacking it. And a typical example is the mushroom which we call the caprusula, which is in previous mushroom books said to be edible. I've put it down as suspect, because if the mushroom's not still firm, button-like, it inebriates people.
Oh, my goodness.
So the longer you leave in the fridge, this mycogyne, which is another fungus, attacks it, and it inebriates you. So it needs to be eaten straight away. It needs to be eaten when it's still firm, fresh, and it's only found in the Western Cape. Nowhere else in South Africa, so under pine trees. So.
Okay. I'm going to ask Gary to stay with us, if he may, for an extra 5 minutes. We do just need to break away to the news headlines, but I don't want to let him go without telling you about the workshop that he's offering next week. We will say goodbye and a big thank you to co-author Dr. Marika Grazenhota, who has been joining us on the line from the Free State. Marika, thank you so much for being part of the conversation today, and our best wishes for all of the mapping projects and for the success of this new field guide to mushrooms. Thanks for joining us today.
It's a big pleasure. And bye, Gary.
Cheers, Marika.
The conversation around mushrooms there. A few more questions that came through. And Gary is still with us in studio to answer them. Gary Goldman, the mushroom fundi. Gary, Fiona's asking whether there are any mushrooms that live in the water, either seawater or freshwater.
There are. It's not one of my expertise, but I have read articles about it, that there are fungi which are being found, or mushrooms which are being found in rivers and dams and things. So.
Okay, interesting. And then Martin, how do you encourage mushrooms to grow in your garden, he asks. I get occasional white and brown ones on the lawn, which I eat, but I want more.
Yeah, well, you've got in the book, we break it down into three different types of species or different types of ecologies. And the one is saprophytic, which are the mushrooms you can cultivate, which grow on dead organic matter.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the parasitic, which are mushrooms which basically attach themselves to live trees, like the chicken of the woods, and slowly but surely kill that host tree. And when the tree falls over, they live on that host tree as a saprophyte for the next few years. And then the mushroom which we find in our forests, which is called a mycorrhizal mushroom. So any mushroom which is a saprophyte, what I do when I find them is I basically put them into a blender, throw some water in with it, make a slurry, and just throw it over my lawn. And I've had the odd mushroom come up on my lawn. It doesn't work every time, but sometimes it works. It's like when I used to find porcini in the beginning, I'm talking 15, 20 years ago, I didn't know what to do with the polypore, because I didn't know then, which I know now, that you don't slice it up and fry it up with the polypore, because the polypore turns into slime, because it's mostly spores, millions of spores under each cap. So I started taking the polypore off and then frying up the white part of the mushroom, and then the polypore I used to throw on Rondebosch Common. And it took 7 years, and every year now we find loads of porcini on Rondebosch Common.
I didn't know that.
Yep, that's a secret which I've just let out. Which
are
I'm
you
sorry
allowed
I
to
did.
Forage on Rondebosch Common?
Oh, yes.
Anyway, you are.
Yeah,
okay.
But sand parks, you need to apply for a permit. It's a free permit.
Okay.
You apply through the conservation office at Newlands Forest, and they would issue with a pre-permit for the season.
Okay. Now, if you'd like to hear more about foraging and about the diverse world of mushrooms, I do want to mention that Gary is actually hosting a workshop next week, Friday, the 12th of July, at Kelvin Grove. Gary, what's it going to include?
Well, they've asked me all kinds of things. Bring mushrooms. I said, listen, if it's cold, it's like going fishing. You don't know what you're going to find when you go out mushroom foraging. It's exactly like fishing. Some days it's great, some days it's not so great. So they can't expect me to arrive with basket loads of mushrooms and explain them. So I said, I'll do what I can, and I've got stuff up my sleeves. I've got dried porcini, and I've got et cetera. So I'll bring stuff and talk about it. But it's more a case of getting the book signed, buying the book there, and having a two-course meal done by their chefs, which is mushroom infused.
So. Sounds absolutely delicious. And if you'd like to be part of that, the cost is only 200 Rand a head for non-members, 170 if you are a member at Kelvin Grove. If you'd like to inquire about joining in that event, it's 2 o'clock next Friday, the 12th of July. Just drop an email to functions@kelvingrove.co.za. Otherwise, look for the Field Guide to Mushrooms and Other Fungi of South Africa in stores now. It's published by Strake Nature, retailing at 370 Rand a copy. It's been a great delight to have the co-authors, Dr. Marika Gresenhout and Gary Goldman with us. Gary, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.